Let me invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. And why don't we stand for the reading of God's word, Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. The Bible is very clear that to be in the church of Jesus includes that we would be disciples of Jesus. A disciple, of course, is a student, a learner, and part of the Christian life, so much of the Christian life, is learning from Jesus, learning from him and growing to be like him. We see this happening with these 12 disciples right in front of us in this story, as they are in the middle of this miracle of Jesus. What do they learn about following Jesus? And what can we learn as we watch this story unfold? Well, let's look at verse 13. This event begins with Jesus getting into a boat to go to a private place by himself. It says, when he heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Jesus intentionally wants to be alone. Why is that? We should understand, first of all, that Jesus is fully God, but he also became fully man. And so, like you and me, he knew what it was to become tired and to need rest. But there's another reason why Jesus went off to be by himself. You might see that in verse 13 it says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew. Jesus heard something that caused him to want to get away. What did he hear? If you were to just look backwards in your Bible a little bit, you would see. You would see that in those verses that John the Baptist had just been killed. He had been martyred by King Herod. John the Baptist, you may recall, was Jesus' own cousin. So he was a family member of Jesus. And so right here we see that Jesus knew what it was like to have sorrow. He knew the sting of suffering. That he knew the loss of a loved one. Even tragically, even suddenly. And so as you or I experience that in our lives too, we should understand that Jesus understands. Firsthand, he can relate to you. Hebrews 14:5 says that, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus understood our struggles. He even felt our temptations. The only difference is, of course, that he never sinned in any of these. But he has felt the upheaval of life that you have felt as well. And so he withdrew to be with God the Father. But it didn't last long, did it? No sooner had that his solitude began when we read at verse 13 that when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. There is something about Jesus that is causing people to track him down on foot from all the nearby towns. And when it says a great crowd, we know that this is actually a massive crowd. At the end of verse 21, we find out that the number was 5,000 men, but it also says that there were women and children. So some estimate that this crowd was easily 10,000 people, maybe even as much as 20,000 people. There is no rest for the weary, as they say. Jesus is now in a sea of people. Now we notice what Jesus did not do. Though he's fatigued, he doesn't say go away. He did not say to them, come back later. But it says in verse 14, when he went ashore, he saw the great crowd and he had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. So he looks at this incredible group and he sees, even within this great crowd, those with physical ailments. Some, no doubt, some could not take care of themselves. Some, no doubt, could not work for themselves. Some of these people, probably depending on their condition, would have been deemed unclean by others. But in all of this, it says that Jesus had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. He extended his heart, he extended his time, he extended his hands. And as this is all unfolding, we could probably turn the camera to the front row, and who is there? Well, it's the 12 disciples. And what they see in Jesus is a brimming heart and healing hands. And this is not an accident. He's their teacher, and this is part of their classroom. And so this is how it is for you and me. To follow Jesus means for us to learn to reflect his compassion. It's his design. It's his program to take you and me where he is going. And often that is to the place where compassion has a void, where hope has a hole, where healing hands are lacking. We easily love those who love us, don't we? We easily serve those who serve us. But Jesus' plan stretches past this. To the point of breaking hearts, to the point of moving our hands to the lowly. That they would be blessed, that they would know something of Christ, that God would be glorified, and that we would become more like Jesus. Now the million-dollar question, of course, is how do we do this? How do we learn Jesus-like compassion? Because this goes against our nature. Well, first of all, in this story, what we can observe is that we need to go where Jesus goes. We need to go to the uncomfortable place. So here's a secret about our trip. When I was asked to go on this trip, I was not so sure that I wanted to go. I actually really dragged my feet. I was hoping Andy would step up and do it instead. I have a family. I didn't want to be away from my children for 2 weeks. I have a comfortable bed. But somehow I went. And the Lord reminded me that he has to take us to the uncomfortable place to work in our hearts. Do you have an uncomfortable place where you spend time? Yes, it could be overseas. The Lord may call you to be a part of a partnership. But it certainly needs to be here as well where we live. So here's a question for all of us to work through. Just as there were 12 disciples, how could we in the future, how could we as Grace Baptist Church, how could we be in groups of 10, 12, 15, and together be in uncomfortable places together? To see what the Lord will do. See how he would work. I believe that's a little bit of what God wants for us as a church. To be in these kinds of groups. To be in places for the Lord to use us where it's not comfortable. So we must be in the uncomfortable place because Jesus is there. And by the way, the uncomfortable place often becomes a beautiful place because Jesus is there. But secondly, the way that we learn compassion is we have to understand who we really are in this story. Who are we in this story? Well, yes, I hope that we can look at the disciples and look at them and see ourselves. But even before we look at the disciples, who we first are in this story is actually the sick. We are first the people that need healing. Paul writes in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Sin is a disease, and there is not a soul, including you or me, who has not been touched and affected by it. And there is none who does not need spiritual healing. And this disease is terminal. It would finish all of us off if not for God providing the remedy in Jesus Christ. Christ came and he brought healing in the most costly of ways by placing our sin on himself, taking it to the cross. Isaiah 54, 4-6 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows." Jesus took our ills upon himself, and in exchange he gives us his perfect righteousness as we trust in him by faith. None of this he had to do, but from sheer grace and mercy and compassion, he did what we did not deserve. And so for us to grow in the compassion of Christ, we must first gain the compassion of Christ for ourselves. We must receive it by faith. Have you received the gift of God in Christ through faith? It is the only way to be saved, and it is the only way to become who God intends for you and I to be. So, to follow Jesus, we must grow in the compassion of Jesus through these means. Also in this story, we see that following Jesus means that we have to rely on the resources of Jesus. The story goes on. Verse 15, "It was evening. The disciples came and said to him, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.'" So the sun's going down. The disciples are like you and me. They're thinking logically. They said, "It's late. Oh, we would love to be hospitable, but we don't have the resources." They said, "Let's give them a head start. If they go now, they can get into town and they can probably get dinner for themselves." And here now, for the second time, we see that Jesus does the unexpected. Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Now, if you're the disciples, what are you going to do? I mean, I think our jaws would drop. We'd say, "Lord, this is impossible. We didn't plan on this. Nobody stopped at Costco, didn't bring anything with us. We have nothing. We have no preparations. This is not going to happen." To their credit, they actually took inventory. And they said to him, We have only 5 loaves in here and we have 2 fish." Now notice that word "only." We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what were the disciples saying? They're saying, "Lord, we have something, but what we have is not enough. We have something, but it's insufficient. We have something, but it doesn't add up." Now what did the Lord want them to see from this? I think he wanted them to see that they were right. To recognize that they could not do what Jesus asked them to do. Here's the point. No matter what we have, it is not enough. You don't have enough to do God's work. I don't have enough to do God's work. Whatever you put on the table, small or big, it is not enough. It is not enough unless what? Unless the Lord is in it. And here now we see a third time that Jesus does the unexpected. He is not going to work because of them, but he is going to work with them, and he's going to work for them. Verse 18, he said, "Bring them here to me." Jesus knows they can't do it, but he can do it. We can do nothing apart from him. But we can bring what we have to him. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. If the disciples' jaws hadn't dropped earlier, they did now. 10,000, maybe 20,000 people fed on a few loaves and fish. This is a miracle. Now ponder this. If Jesus was going to provide bread by a miracle, then why not just have it fall from the sky? Why not just have it rain down from the heavens and fall on their laps? Or why not have it appear from the ground, just as the manna appeared for Moses and the Israelites in the book of Exodus? Why not do it that way? Instead, Jesus prayed for the Father's blessing, and then he intentionally had his disciples do the serving. He worked through them by involving them. This is his way. Our Lord delights to work not around, but through his people. People who are limited. People who are fallible. People who stumble in their walk with him. People often with little faith. People like me, people like you, are God's playbook for his kingdom work. Today, if you think that you have little to bring to God, then the good news is that you are in a position to be used by God. You think you have little skill, little strength, little resources? Then you are in a position to be used by the Lord. And he wants to use you to distribute bread also. But not ordinary bread. The bread of life. The Lord wants to put into our hands, into your hands, the message of Christ. And then to walk across the street, to the next town, to the next village, to the next city, to hand deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are in dire need of it. He could choose an easier way. He could write the gospel in the clouds if he wanted to. He could, as we read in other parts of the Bible, the stones could cry out and testify to Jesus. But no, that's not his method. His method is to work in partnership with you and me as his followers. So what was the outcome that day? Well, verse 20 says, they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate, every last one of them. And they ate as much as they could until they were satisfied. Let's not miss this. Jesus is not just providing a snack to get them through till they get home. They all ate till they were full, satisfied. God is a God of rich provision. He provides abundantly, and he satisfies us with good things. And what we are to see is that Jesus is not only the one who gives what satisfies, he is the one that satisfies. In John 6:35, Jesus says of himself, "I am the bread of life." So Jesus did not come to this earth just to give us bread, but to be our bread. He is to be what fills our souls. He is to be who satisfies our souls. Today, if your food, if your source for life is anything other than Christ, I mean, we all need to know that it will run out, it will not last, it will not satisfy, because it is the wrong diet. There's only one miracle diet. It's Christ, who said of himself, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." If your trust and your life are not in Christ today, or you are drifting from your confession of faith in Christ, would you turn to him today? Turn to him to be the food in your life, to provide for you, to satisfy you. He will receive you. He will forgive you. He will lead you. And if you have trusted in Christ, if you are following Christ today, nothing changes. We must keep coming to Jesus all the time, to his word for spiritual food, to be healthy, to grow, to be effective. You know, one thing that we learned in our trip in Romania is that bread is everywhere. You get bread with your breakfast. You get bread with your lunch. You get bread with your dinner. We had bread for snack. In the Roma children gypsies camp, they gave us bread with margarine and raw onion. And that was our snack. I wasn't so sure about it, but it actually tasted like a pretty good onion ring. But there's bread. There's bread everywhere. And so it is with us. We must have the bread of life, Christ, every day. This is why we meet on Sundays. This is why we need to be a part of a local church, be a part of a fellowship, to come together and encourage one another. This is why we need to meet together throughout the week in little groups or bigger groups, to encourage one another to feed on Christ. Well, lastly, one more thing. Following Jesus also means that we must learn to receive the blessing from Jesus. It says they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. So let's do the math. The 12 disciples picked up how many baskets? I know you know. 12. Don't miss this. There's one basket full at the end for each of them. Now the 12 baskets, they probably represent the 12 tribes of Israel, but certainly also they represent God's blessing and provision for each and every one of those 12 disciples. And as you and I share in the compassion of Jesus, trust in the resources of Jesus, go out and share the message of Jesus, there are blessings to receive from Jesus. It does not mean he will make you rich or give you lots of material things, but it means that Jesus promises to provide our needs and to bless us spiritually in ways that the world cannot compete with. You know, for the three of us who went on this trip, it was not always very easy. It was stretching. It was hot. It was uncomfortable. There was not a lot of sleep. There was a lot of snoring that I heard. There was a lot of work. There was 4 sermons and over 13 testimonies or lessons that we combined shared. It was stretching, but it was a blessing. A blessing that God would involve me, that God would involve us in such a way. It was a spiritual blessing that we praise God for. I know Daryl and Horace would say the same thing. In the same way, when you serve with the resources and the message of the Lord, in the compassion of the Lord, you will be blessed in the process. You will be blessed with blessings that the world cannot provide, cannot compete with. As you serve others, Jesus will show himself to be enough for you. Is this how you want to spend your life? As we close, let us look at this last verse real quick. Verse 21, those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God richly provided maybe upwards to 20,000 people that day. He still desires to provide. But not just a meal that's going to leave you hungry in an hour or two. He desires to give you food and drink that will satisfy your soul forever. Jesus is the living bread. What bread is to the body, Jesus is to the soul. He gives life, he sustains life, and he satisfies. But we must receive it. They all ate. We must receive him. See, we don't look at food. We don't smell food. We don't watch other people eat food. We have it. We must have it for ourselves. Receive it into our soul. Have you received this living bread? There's nothing better. I pray that you would taste and see today that the Lord is good. Let's pray. So, Father in heaven, we marvel at what you have done to heal us from our sin. We marvel at your compassion for us, your passion that was put into action, that you would send your Son, that you, Lord Jesus, lived the perfect life that we could not live, that you died the death that we deserve, and that you've been raised to new life to share with us this life now and for eternity. Lord, we want to be grateful this morning. We want to give you thanks and honor and praise. And we know, Lord, that the best way to do that is to continue to grow as disciples of Jesus. Let us not be in neutral. Let us not go backwards. Let us follow the Lord Jesus this morning. And so we pray, help us to grow in his compassion, to rely on his power, and to receive his blessings. Lord, maybe it'll be in some other part of the world, but certainly you want that for where you have placed us here right now today. So may you do this, Lord, and we thank you, Heavenly Father. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.